Hello again, it's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'd like to draw your attention to the greatest declaration ever heard in human history. Yep, I'll say it again. The greatest declaration ever heard in human history. Now, where's that and what is it? Well, it's John 19, verse 30. It simply says this. You ready? It is finished. These are the dying words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what powerfully important words they are. It is finished. Do you know it's reported that when Queen Elizabeth I of England lay dying, she said, my God, it's over. I'm not trying to mock her or anything, but she said, my God, it's over. I have come to the end. Now, you know, in her wardrobe, when she said that, she had 2,000 costly dresses and gowns, and she called out, all my possessions for just one more day. Oh, those are pathetic words of a dying queen. How wonderful, then, by contrast, are the words of the dying Savior who declared from the cross, from his deathbed, it is finished. In other words, salvation has been completed. It's been accomplished. It's been perfected. Now notice there's not a, when you read those words and you see the cross event, there's not a hint of God, it's over. I've come to the end. Now, see how Christ's words, it is finished, are filled with glorious victory. They literally mean, it is done, it's accomplished, it's completed. What's done? What's completed? What's accomplished? Well, redemption is completed. He is saying that salvation, Jesus is saying that salvation has been obtained, completed, and accomplished. You see, this English phrase of ours, this little sentence, it is finished. Well, it's actually not in the Greek. The sentence isn't, but one word is. And that one word is finished. Finished. He wasn't finished. He wasn't the victor. He was the victor. But tell me, Brother Miles, how was redemption finished? It was finished by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He finished and fully finished and completed the works that he had been sent to do. It is finished. Now, when we look at the tense of the Greek, we discover that it is the perfect tense that Jesus spoke in there. It is finished, finished, the perfect tense. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that although the action has been completed in the past, the results continue into the present. So when Jesus cried out, it is finished, he meant, it is finished, it was finished in the past, it is still finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. Hallelujah. It is finished. Listen to Paul as he tells the Hebrews. Yeah, I think he wrote Hebrews. Listen to him about the finished work of Christ. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1 verse 3. It is finished. That means justice was satisfied and is still satisfied. It is finished. That means the Father was satisfied and still is still satisfied. It is finished. That means the righteous demands of the law were satisfied and are still satisfied. It is finished. That means the Old Testament sacrifice were finished. The sacrifices were finished and are still finished. It is finished. The prophets were fulfilled and are still fulfilled. It is finished. What a wonderful, grand and glorious statement made by the God-man, the wonderful Prince of Glory. Oh, it is finished. When a work, listen to me, think with me. When a work is finished, it's finished. There's no need to add anything to it. Neither man nor angel needs to add anything to a finished work. And a good thing too. Wouldn't it just be dreadful if our salvation was based on any of our efforts? Oh, look, our efforts, boy, at best, they're incomplete. Have you loved God with all your heart? And you've made your hardest effort to do it? No, you haven't. I haven't. Nobody has. We need a salvation because we're told to love God with all our hearts and we can't do it. And we have a Savior, however, who finished the work, who died for us, who lives for us. We haven't served God perfectly in ourselves. We haven't done it. We've left things undone. There's so much we should have done, but the clock is racing against us. But the Lord Jesus left nothing of our salvation incomplete. It is finished. He did not partially save or partially ransom. It is finished. Everything he did for us, he did perfectly. It is finished. There's no one like Christ Jesus. Listen to me. No one in any of the world's religions. You may be thinking you're searching for God and you're looking at Buddha. You're looking. No. None of them finished the work. None of them saved their people. There's no one like Christ Jesus in any of the world's great religions. And this one expression, it is finished, explodes and shatters every other religion on earth. They're all fake. They're all useless. Muhammad did not complete redemption for his people. Buddha did not atone for his people. Only Christ Jesus ransomed and redeemed and reconciled us back to the Father. It is finished. Someone penned these lines. Oh, let me kiss thy bleeding feet and bathe and wash them with my tears. The story of thy love repeat in every drooping sinner's ears, that all mankind with me may prove thy sovereign everlasting love. Wow. Here's some good news about Christ's finished work. Are you ready? All that Christ did in his finished work, he did as our substitute. He was born for us. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The eternal God, listen to me, the eternal God entered into time and history in the person of Jesus Christ. The Creator became a creature. Oh, what immense humility. He was the brightness of God's glory, Hebrews 1:3. Yet he humbled himself. He humbled himself, yet the world scorned him. He humbled himself, but they said, he is from Beelzebub. He humbled himself. But they called him a bastard. Yeah, they did, an illegitimate child. He humbled himself. But they said he was only the carpenter's boy. Huh? And that as child, one man could only refer to him as this fellow. Matthew 26:61. This fellow, who's he talking about? Jesus, the eternal God made manifest. This fellow. Ah, he was born for us. But more than that, he lived for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 8:9. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He came into this world as an infant, and there was no place for him to be laid down. No place for him. He walked the earth, and at times there was no place for him to lay his head. When he died, and they had to borrow a place to lay his body. When he took our place, oh bless him, when he took our place, he had nothing. But while he lived here on earth, he was wholly set apart for us. You can read that, John 17:19. He was made a curse for us. Yeah, and Jesus Christ, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Where's that, Brother Matthew? That's Galatians 3:13. And not only was he cursed for us, he was bruised for us, he died for us, he was buried and rose again for us, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. It is finished. You know, some of us have become immune to hearing about him. Yeah, it's sad. We've become immune to hearing about him and how he came here for us and how he went to the cross and rose again. Some of us tire of hearing that he was wounded for us. I have a warning to give you. If you're becoming immune to the gospel, you will be a useless witness. You'll never win anyone for Christ. You'll never be able to present the gospel. Oh, I love the hymn. We only sing it this time of the year, but it says, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Oh, yeah, he was born for us, and he lived for us. He died for us. He arose for us. He ascended into heaven for us. Check all these things out. Romans 4:25, John 14:2. And at this moment, you know what he's doing? He's living for us. And he's praying for us. Hebrews 7:25. And when he finally comes again, he'll come back for us. John 14:3. It's finished. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. His intercession for us at this very moment is based upon his finished and accomplished work. His returning is to consummate and crown with glory all that he accomplished in his doing and dying. It is finished. Everything Jesus intended to do, he accomplished. It is finished. Now listen to me. If you want to build, I'm just an old boy speaking, but I've had years of experience and I want to tell you this. If you want to build a strong Christian life, you must lay the foundations broad and deep. And the deepest and strongest foundation is the person and finished work of Christ Jesus. Oh, if you want to be effective in the gospel, then learn the gospel. Get into the gospel. Dwell in the gospel and see all the different things that the gospel means. Learn that it is finished. Learn that all that is necessary for our salvation has been accomplished and completed. Learn that his work was a total success. Did you hear me? A total success. Learn that he finished the work that the Father had given him to do. And if you want to be effective as you bring the message of Christ, never in your own heart, in your own life, never tire of hearing the gospel. In the light of the cross, we can learn to agree with the old Puritan John Flavel. I like some of the things he says. He declared, "The condemnation was thine," speaking of Christ, "the condemnation was thine that the justification might be mine. The agony was thine that the victory might be mine. The pain was thine that the ease might be mine. The stripes thine that the healing balm issuing from them might be mine. The vinegar and the gall thine, and the honey and the sweet mine. The curse was thine, that the blessings might be mine. The crown of thorns was thine, that the crown of glory might be mine. The death was thine, that the life purchased by it might be mine. You paid the price that I might enjoy the inheritance. It is finished. We were lost and condemned by sin, and we could not claim righteousness of our own, which would satisfy God's holy law. Yet Christ's complete obedience is imputed to us and declares us complete and without fault before God. Why? Because it is finished. What a complete and perfect thing is the righteousness of God in Christ. Every believer, listen to me, are you a believer? If you are credited with the righteousness of Christ. Now listen to me, it is neither a righteousness that looks like Christ's righteousness, nor a righteousness that is similar to Christ's righteousness. It is the actual righteousness of Christ himself that is reckoned to us. Oh, let the searching eye of an all-holy and jealous God turn that righteousness in every way and view it from every side. It will not find the least flaw or defect in it. Let God, the judge of all the earth, thoroughly weigh it and examine it, and it will always appear pure and perfect, containing in it all that is necessary for our salvation. It is finished. But how do I get that righteousness? How does it become mine? What must I do? Well, it's yours by faith alone. Faith alone is how we approach God. Faith alone receives as our new verdict from heaven. Righteous. Faith alone receives that verdict. Faith in what? Faith in Christ alone as the great sin bearer, our sin bearer. Faith in Christ alone who finished the work of redemption. Listen to me, and I'm bringing this to an end. When Jesus lived and died for us, he paid every debt sin had created. And God now reckons that salvation has been accomplished. It is finished. All is paid in full. What is done is done. What is complete is complete. Our debt of sin is cancelled. However, because we're accustomed in this world, we're accustomed to time payments. You buy a house, you buy it on payments. Or a car. I'm buying a thing on, I'm paying it off by degrees. Well, we bring that system into our spiritual life, unfortunately. We think that, yes, Jesus died on the cross for me, but I need to contribute something. Look, if God sees that we're serious about keeping his standards, do you think that if he looks and sees our seriousness, or sees that you have some holy affection, that you're working on performing an improvement on your service, working to improve yourself, do you think then he'll take note of you? No. He'll not be doubly sure to open up heaven's door for you because you're trying, you're making your effort. Away with this thinking, it's an abomination to God. Let's listen again to Jesus. It is finished. Can you rest on that? Can you trust in that? Can you lean on him? It is finished. The way to God is now open because it is finished. Our sins are gone because why? It is finished. We have full assurance of faith because it is finished. Oh, my dear believer, dear friend, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Go on, say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your debts have been paid through the blood of Calvary. Your conscience is now cleansed. You have eternal life. And all because it is finished. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, we're going now, but consider what we've been talking about. If I can help you in any way with your walk with God, it's miles@milesmckee.com, miles@milesmckee.com. I urge you to rest on Christ alone. Why? Because it is finished.